Christian Parenting. Aloha, friends. Welcome to the Monica Swanson Podcast, powered by Christian Parenting. I am Monica Swanson, mom to four boys, wife to Dr. Dave, podcast host, and author of Boy Mom and Raising Amazing. Here on the podcast, it is my goal to bring you practical advice and biblical wisdom for raising amazing kids and building strong families. You can always find show notes over at monicaswanson.com/podcast. I'm so glad you're here, and I hope you'll be encouraged. Hey friends, with Mother's Day just around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift you might get your mom? I know every year I try to think of something unique, and I'm so excited to get to tell you about a really good idea. MyLifeInABook.com is a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send your mom a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or record her voice. And MyLifeInABook.com will compile all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook if you prefer, using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, her adventures, and the challenges she has overcome. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. Now, recently I was able to order MyLifeInABook.com for my mom, and I cannot wait to hear all of her stories. She has such great stories. I can't wait to see them all in a book form. So check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code Monica at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. Again, that's MyLifeInABook.com and use code Monica for 10% off today. Aloha, friends. Welcome back to the podcast. I am so happy to be with you again today, and we have such a special guest with us. I think you're going to love this episode, and I'm really going to encourage you to share it with the men in your life. This one is for all of us, yes, but I'm going to vote especially the men need to listen to Justin Whitmell early and also to get your hands on his most recent book, Made for People: Why We Drift into Loneliness and How to Fight for a Life of Friendship. Justin is an incredible writer. He's one of my favorites. Quoted him like crazy in Raising Amazing. I've had him on the podcast before. I'll be linking to that in show notes. And I just think he is a really smart guy and also just an incredible writer who communicates such important truths so well. So I'm not even going to say any more. I do want to pause to thank you so much for just being in this podcast community, for your ratings and reviews. Hey, if you haven't left one yet, do you know how much that would mean to me? You can even pause right now and you just look at your little phone, scroll down, find those 5 stars and click on them, and or leave a few words about what you love most about the Monica Swanson podcast. That truly, truly blesses me. Also, if you just let your friends know about this podcast, you can take a screenshot, share it to your stories, you know, mention it next time you're hanging out with a friend. It just blesses me to have all of you helping spread the word. That's how this podcast is found by more people. And I just love serving this community so much. It is such an honor and a privilege. So thank you. You guys know that I love it when you email me, and I am very open to your requests for future topics and guests. And you can do that by emailing me at aloha@monicaswanson.com. All right. I read every email. I pray for everyone who emails me. And when I can, I reply. I can't always reply, but just know that I read everyone and I also read every review. So thank you in advance. All right, friends, this is a great topic. I think you're going to be super encouraged and inspired and maybe challenged. So without further ado, here's Justin Whitmell, Early and I, talking about why we drift into loneliness and how we can fight for a life of friendship. This could be life-changing. I really mean that. I hope you're encouraged. Hey, Justin, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Monica. I'm so excited.
Yeah, well, I have been looking forward to a chance to talk about another book. Actually, just as soon as I finished reading your last book, I just was hoping you'd write another one because my husband and I have both so enjoyed your writing. I'm like, he could write about anything and we'd read it. So,
well, no, you're the best. Thank you. I love writing, so I'd love to hear that.
Yeah. And you do a lot more than writing. So, for anyone who doesn't know you, why don't you just give us a snapshot of what you do, your life, your family?
I do. My wife and family come first. So married to Lauren, she's the best. Mm. We are the parents of four young boys aged right now between 4 and 11. Mm. So I've obviously long looked up to you on how to raise boys.
Crazy days.
We're figuring out as we go. I'm a business lawyer by profession. So that's what I do with my quote unquote 9 to 5. And it really is like that. That is what I do. I've got a team of people here. I run my own law firm now, but it's kind of a profession of words. We draft, negotiate contracts and help people navigate business deals of starting or selling companies. So we're writing all the time and I just love writing all the time. So whether it's, you know, Christian nonfiction or closely held secret, I do poetry too. I love writing. Yay. So one of my, you know, favorite things is I spend the first hour of most days writing and eventually those turns into books and here we are.
Here we are. Okay. And tell us about your last books leading up to this one.
Well, so I've started to see it as a trilogy, actually.
And I started
my writing actually when I collapsed in my first year of lawyering in an anxiety crash. Mm-hmm. And the Lord helped me rebuild my life of habit because I realized my head was going one way and my habit was going the other way. And my heart was following all these bad habits. So I started like thinking about my interior life of technology and busyness and schedule as a young lawyer. And I wrote a book called The Common Rule, which recommends 4 daily and 4 weekly habits for spiritual formation as like a regular worker like me or a regular parent. So that's like interior life. Mm-hmm. And it came out of crisis of anxiety. And then my second book, Habits of the Household, kind of also came out of crisis, a smaller one, but I realized I was working on my, you know, work habits and technology habits, but I was still generally yelling at my kids in the evening, generally just being an angry, frustrated father. And I was like, oh my gosh, I need to apply this stuff about liturgy and spiritual formation to the realm of parenting. Mm. And it was really a sweet time where I feel like the Lord took me through rethinking how my normal reactions to everyday situations in the house happened. And that was Habits of the Household. So that's like started with interior life, then move out to family. And this next book that's coming out kind of as we speak is on friendship. So moving out into community life and thinking about the arts and habits of friendship, because whether you're a worker, stay-at-home parent, or anything in between, I've noticed that right now that the thing that makes or breaks lives, the difference between people who are thriving in their walk with the Lord and the people who are struggling or falling away is not hard things. Like we all have hard things. It's whether you walk through them with friends or not.
Wow.
And so I'm so excited to write about friendship.
Wow. Wow. I do see the trilogy there too. That's incredible.
Yeah, a little bit. Am I forcing it? Makes sense.
No, I think it totally works. And I'll just say that your book, Habits of the Household, if anybody's read Raising Amazing, I'm pretty sure I quote you in that book more than anything else, to the point that when I turned it in to my editor, I was like, she's going to be like, what the heck? Why are you quoting him so much? And I thought she'd cut it, but she actually left most of them in there. So,
I love it. And I mean, I feel like we're giving back because Lauren and I, you know, read and watched your stuff with Raising Boys, like, you know, boy mom stuff. So yeah, we've learned a lot. I'm happy that we could contribute something back to you.
Oh, well, you know, what would be really fun is someday to get our families together and let my big boys and, you know, my 13-year-old's not too far off, but
yeah, can we come to Hawaii?
You can come to Hawaii. That would be okay, so much fun. Oh, I'd love that. Well, your new book is such a fun, just slight pivot on topics, but I love it. The minute I think I was about 3 pages in when I stopped and was like, I'm ordering this for every male in my family. Like, this is so important. Of course, my family is only males. But tell me that. Like, I'm kind of curious, is this a book you would say is necessarily for men or for everyone? What is Lauren's thoughts as far as how this fits for women relationships as well?
I would say absolutely for everyone. Mm-hmm. When you look at the modern West and America, we live in what I would call a current of loneliness, a very dangerous current of loneliness. Mm-hmm. And I'm not the only one saying this. Like, I didn't make this up, you know, like, I actually have on my desk, like, this Surgeon General study on the epidemic of loneliness that came out in June of 2023. So this is recent. This is like modern stats, and health professionals are beating the drum of, oh my gosh, we have learned and this is really recent data, recent knowledge. We've learned in the last couple of years that loneliness is making us die younger. It's causing health problems to the tune of obesity and smoking. Mm-hmm. And these are not exaggerated statistics. These are pretty empirical. And so wherever you are, man or woman, baby boomer, Gen Xer, you know, whatever, like you're struggling with loneliness, whether you know it or not. The current that you're in, if you don't fight back against it, is taking you towards loneliness. Now, I am a man. So I write more about my male friendships in the book than anything else, which is kind of natural. But I don't think this problem of loneliness is unique to men at all. I think it is unique to our modern moment. And all of us need to think about why we are living such individualistic lives, and in particular, why that's the antithesis to the way God made us. Because we need people. We're made for people, which is the title of the book.
Yes. So good. Okay, so can you tell us the story of what led to you writing it?
Well, I was, I started high school. I tell the story at the beginning of the book. I started high school in a tough spot, let's say. I was the kind of guy who tucked in my t-shirts. I played the clarinet. I had Bible verses on the front of my binders. You're laughing now.
Right? I'm sorry. It was tough. I like that picture. It's sweet.
Yeah. And I had just moved from a different town because my dad had been elected to state office. So everybody knew as this politician's kid who was new to the school, but I knew no one, and no one knew my interior life. Yeah. Right? And I remember that first year of high school, just everything about it was hard. There were no easy decisions from like which t-shirt to wear and tuck in to like, you know, whether to speak up in class. Everything was hard.
And I
thought at the time that, oh, like life is just hard. Like life is less difficult. Like I'm anxious. I didn't realize at the time that a lot of the difficulties and anxieties we experience in life generally are not baked into life. They're baked into loneliness. Mm. And this might be true of a listener's life right now, but I didn't know that at the time. Right. So I'm like swimming in this lonely current, and then something happens, which is also kind of funny. I spend a youth retreat weekend away and happen to make friends with this guy named Steve who we bond over like skateboards, drum sets, and hacky sacks. Very 1990s. And regardless of whether you know what those things are as a listener, like the hacky sack part, we just had what C.S. Lewis calls the U2 moment, where you realize, C.S. Lewis says, this is the beginning of friendship, where you look at somebody else and say, oh, U2? I thought I was the only one. And we just started to forge this little friendship, and we had the funniest moment at the locker, which changed the rest of my life. And well, one of us, we actually can't remember whom, but I'm guessing it was Steve, said, do you want to be best friends? And it was that awkward. And I was, you know, I was like, oh, that sounds good to me. And it was like, that was it. It was like a Wes Anderson movie where everybody says what they're thinking and then like we just move on. It did not seem significant at the time at all, right? And then I look back at my high school life and everything from that moment changed because not because my circumstances changed. I was still awkward, adolescent, public high school. But my experience of those circumstances changed completely because now I face them alongside a friend. And ever since, I've had this feeling that I was made for friendship. And that was years ago. You know, this is like 20 years later. Those friendships and ones like it have seen me through so many different phases of life and so many different hard things. And I've realized what I shared at the beginning, that the difference between, I think, people who walk well with the Lord and not is not the hard things and the tragedies and the mental illness and the struggles and the miscarriages. Like that's life. But when you walk, when you face those experiences beside a friend, everything changes. Yeah. And so this book comes from the blessing of those kinds of friendships.
Yeah. And it seems that since that time, you really have found many more good friends and understood the value of them. So you've held on. So,
yeah. And I think I want to honor those friends. I mean, they have made me, you know, like I am not who I would be without my close friends here in Richmond.
Yeah.
But you also have to work at them, right? Yeah. It's not just, I don't want anybody to get the impression like, oh, well, I don't have old high school friends. A lot of my friends are new friends.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need longevity to have really close friendships. You don't need, you know, somebody you've known for years. Actually, that can be a liability. Friendships are an art, and you got to start working at an art. It's something you can practice, but you can never master. So
yeah,
I want to, like, we work at this, which is why it's a beautiful relationship.
Okay. I totally love that. But I'm wondering what you would say to someone like my husband, who I told him before we recorded, I was like, I wish you could be in on this interview, and he should have been. But I know that he and I have other friends whose husbands are similar. He's more introverted. He has some good friends, especially the longer, like lifelong friends that he connects quickly with when he sees them. But I'd say on a regular, like daily or weekly basis, he'd say, well, my family's my people. You guys are, you're really all I need. But you would argue, no, that's not enough. You need people outside of your family. So yeah.
I would say it's not enough. Yeah.
I think you're right. And yet you work, you write, you have so much going on. And then I read your book and I'm like, it sounds like you're hanging out by the fire pit with your buddies. Like, how in the heck do you make that happen? Can you maybe tell some of the intentionality behind it to inspire someone who's like not doing it right now?
Yeah. So let's work backwards here, because I define a friend as someone who knows you fully and loves you anyway. And we can come back to what that exactly means.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I've written about habits in a lot of my other books, but I would firmly put a stake in the ground and say friendship is not fundamentally a habit. It is a complicated relationship that changes a lot in your life. It's as much as an art as it is a habit. Okay. That said, there are things you can do in your schedule to make your life conducive to friendship. So we're going to work backwards. Let's talk about the habit part.
I'm with you.
What I think is so cool about friendship is that everything else that's essential for, you know, physical surviving and spiritual thriving, you have to do like all the time. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like you have to sleep at least 7 hours a day. You have to work and parent for, unfortunately, way more than that. You need to eat multiple times a day. And spiritually speaking, you know, you should be praying without ceasing or reading your Bible regularly. There's all these things, but friendship, which you were made for, God created you for this. Just 1 hour a week will completely change the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Even when it's like 1 hour every other week. And so with my two closest friends here in Richmond, you know, we have this standing porch night every other Tuesday where we get together and, you know, from the outside, it looks just normal. It's like we're hanging out on each other's porches, probably sharing a drink, talking about our marriages, our kids, our work, we're shooting the breeze. Like it will look very regular. But if you like look closely or you sit with us and listen, over the course of these every other week gatherings, we're doing this radical thing called being honest with each other, right? Everything from like our internet history to our deepest fears of mental illness and what we're working through and physical injury or what kids are going through or what we're struggling with in our marriage that's hard to talk about with our wives. And in that schedule, like that loosely held rhythm that often gets canceled or postponed or rescheduled, but over the course of weeks and then months, I've become a person without secrets. These guys know me. And that's that idea of being fully known.
Wow.
And then in that schedule of coming back together and doing it over and over, I hear and I sense from them, Justin, I know, they know all my garbage and they keep coming back to my porch anyway. They love me anyway.
Yeah.
And that's a habit. Wow. But it can create an incredible life of living without secrets, which is what we need. Because otherwise we burn up from the inside out.
Yeah, totally. That makes perfect sense. Hey friends, I hope you're enjoying this episode. I want to pause here real quick to make sure you know about an online math curriculum that I have been learning all about. CTC Math is an amazing homeschool curriculum, but also useful for extra math practice, kind of like a tutor at home if your kids go to school. Now, I learned about CTC Math through Dorenda Wilson, who we all know is the expert homeschool mom to 8, and I've been checking it out, and I'm so impressed with their video tutorials and summaries, which are clear, complete, and so easy to follow. A whole lot of families who have tried other math curriculums are delighted with how simple and straightforward CTC Math is. The other cool thing is they offer a 12-month money-back guarantee, no questions asked. So that is good reason in itself to check it out. They have been just winning over a lot of families to this math curriculum. So go over to ctcmath.com, check it out, start your free trial. Let me know what you think once you check it out. I think you're going to love it. ctcmath.com. And now we'll get back to the show. Ladies, if you have had a chance to hang out with a girlfriend recently, maybe over coffee or any time you get a chance to go below the surface, I'm guessing the topic of hormones have come up. Am I right? Whether we're talking PMS or perimenopause or menopause, hormones are a thing, and I think we need to talk about them. Now, I am happy to report that I have been trying a daily supplement called Hormone Harmony, created by Happy Mammoth. Now, the Happy Mammoth company is dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. So, Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it is perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that can tend to put a woman's life on hold. So, if you want to try Hormone Harmony, here's a great deal. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order over at happymammoth.com. Just use code Monica at checkout. That's happymammoth.com. Use code Monica for 15% off today. Let me know how you like it. Okay, so first step, because when I talk to girlfriends, and if I ever say things like, yeah, Dave needs more friends, or like we're hitting a season where I think it's time to start creating more space for more friendships, most of my friends are like, oh, my husband's the exact same way. He doesn't have any friends, or he has one friend. What are the baby steps? I mean, obviously, it's kind of like anything. When you recognize how important it is, I think people need to realize how important it is to make space for it, to create that priority, because it's like exercise, right? If you don't think it matters, then why would you ever carve out time for it? But
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So let me go back though, because I'm not going to ignore the baby steps, but I do think we live in a time where friendship is seen as something on the periphery of the Christian life, something that's not necessary for walking with the Lord. It's like a luxury, but it's optional. Mm. And my greatest hope in this book would be to challenge that assumption gently and kindly, but tell people that, hey, you are made in such a way that you can't experience God the way that you were made to experience him until you experience him alongside others.
Wow.
I would even say that you can't fully behold the beauty of the gospel, Jesus's life, death, and resurrection for you until you behold it through the lens of friendship. And that's a biblical story we can dive into. But my point is, I would love to see the church go back, because it's not like the church never knew this, but go back to a time when the word friendship sounded like the words quiet time or prayer or worship or church, something that you're like, oh, inherently, yeah, that's part of the Christian life. Because it is. Friendship is an essential part of the biblical story. Jesus describes his act of salvation at the Last Supper to his disciples as an act of friendship. He says, fundamentally, what I've done in salvation has made you friends of God. And if Ephesians tells us that we're to be imitators of God, becoming like Christ necessarily means becoming more like a friend. So the first thing that I'd want to see, men or women, but I hear your point, like a lot of men, I think, can struggle with being more open and really inviting. The first thing I'd want them to understand is that you can be lonely with God. You can be lonely with your family. Mm-hmm. God created you such that mm-hmm. you were not enough mm-hmm. until there's friends that walk deeply alongside yeah. you. And I think when you get that, like, oh, I need this, then you're willing to be like, well, I need exercise. So I might do it 3 times a week. You mm-hmm. know, you start moving mm-hmm. towards it. And I'm saying, like, hey, you need friendship. You only once a week, once every other week, it'll totally. Change your life.
Yes, I 100% agree. And that's why I'm so glad you put it in this book, because it's going to come better from you and your stories and all that you share than from a wife who's...
Well, I always say with habits of the household too, you know, I'll have like a women message or your email or talk come back to me after a conference or something, be like, you know, my husband really needs to hear this. And I'm like, you know, just send him to me, like send him to me. Like I'll talk, I'll give him the book. Cause I love talking to guys about this. I really don't think this is just a book for guys, but it is, guys need this.
Right.
We should talk about teenage girls actually, because they're, listen, right now with social media, the mm-hmm. stats of mental unhealth and suicide rates and as mediated by online relationships is awful. Uh-huh. But if you look at men, it is awful. The loneliness epidemic is striking really, really hard at men. They're the ones who are in the opioid crisis committing suicide. And so it's both and, but I do have a real heart for going to men and saying the most manly thing that you can do is just tell your secrets to another guy.
Wow.
And be fully known by somebody and cry with them and hear them say, I love you, brother. And so does Christ. Mm. That is the most masculine thing I think I do. And I just came out of the gym where it was deadlifting, you know, 350 pounds or something. Like I can do that stuff. That doesn't matter. The most masculine thing I do is tell my secret to a friend.
Okay. That is so cool. And I'm really happy that my two oldest sons who are living independently, you know, across the ocean from me, I think they've tapped into this. I feel like they talk about friendships that are vulnerable and deep. In fact, on that, talk to us about the difference between sharing and vulnerability, because I think you make an important distinction in the book about that. Mm,
yeah. And this is really important. So I'll answer this by going back to the passage I just referenced earlier in John 15, where Jesus says, I have called you friends. And the reason he says that is he says, you're no longer servants. Everything that I've heard from the Father, I've made known to you. Mm. And this is this idea that by fully disclosing himself to us, he treats us as friends. This idea of vulnerability, like you know everything. Mm-hmm. And of course, for Jesus, this is ultimate vulnerability. He's about to go to the cross. Mm-hmm. The Latin root of vulnerable means to be capable of being wounded. Ooh, so he is making himself capable of being wounded by disclosing himself and giving himself to us. Mm. And when I look at relationships, I was once talking about vulnerability to a group of executive leaders, and one of them came up to me afterwards and said, you know, this is awesome. I love this. But honestly, if my friends knew everything about my life, they could get me fired. Mm. And I was like, exactly.
Yeah.
You need somebody who is capable of wounding mm-hmm, you mm-hmm. because they know so much about you.
Wow.
But they stick around with you anyway, mm-hmm. because that's what Christ does for us. So sharing is the idea that, you know, you say something like, you know, I'm having a rough time in my marriage right now. You know, vulnerability is like, we were shouting so loud last night that we almost woke up the kids, you know, and someone threw something. Or sharing is like, work is stressing me out. Vulnerability is, I can't sleep at night unless I take pills or drink. Mm-hmm. You know, there's levels of like, and by the way, the reason I shared those two things is because those are things that I've said to my friends in the past so that they can help me, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about somebody else. I'm talking about the guy on the podcast right now. Mm-hmm. And here's the reality, Monica, as you know, and everybody else in theory knows, we're all sinners.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the ingredients to friendships are two things, a sinner and a sinner. Mm-hmm. So like,
yeah,
we're good. Totally. It is no surprise that we have stuff. And if you go read, you know, Bonhoeffer on Life Together or anybody that writes well about community, one of the main things they're going to talk about is like, let's stop pretending that we're good.
Yeah.
Because the goodness of grace is you cannot be received when we're all pretending that we have it together. So what I'm talking about is not sharing in the abstract, like I have some troubles, but nobody will really know what they are. Mm-hmm. It's sharing in the specific, like I'm a real human being with actual failures and I need somebody to know mm-hmm. how messed up I am so that they can love me anyway, because that's exactly what Christ does for us. He knows mm-hmm. very specifically the ways that we failed.
Yeah.
And commits to love us anyway. And that's the kind of vulnerability we need with each other.
I love that so much. And I love that for anyone who's listening, it's like, I want that, male or female. Like, this is something I so crave, but like, I just know there's somebody that's like, I could never do it. I just... Well,
let me add two things to that real quick.
Yeah,
just that you know, we crave it. Just tip this off in my mind. Very short. One, what sounds like, you know, failure to you is going to sound like courage to the person across the table almost all the time.
Exactly.
And this is really important. When you share your failures, most of the time, sometimes you'll get a dud and somebody will be like, cool, that's weird, I'm leaving. Or like, hey, look at this meme. It's awkward. Mm-hmm. Most of the time you get somebody saying, I am so honored you could entrust me with that. And then, wait for it, they'll say, can I tell you something actually? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because vulnerability looks like courage on the other side of the table, and it catalyzes more vulnerability. And this is the soil of real friendship.
So beautiful.
Take the baby step. It's mm-hmm. scary.
It is.
But you will change your community. You will change other people by being brave enough to talk honestly about your sin, because life is more like a high school dance than not. Like, everybody's out there waiting to be asked.
Oh, so that's,
you go be honest. So good. It changes things.
It does. Well, and since you're being vulnerable and honest, I'll just share a way that this played out for me as my book Raising Amazing was being edited. Something happened with one of my sons. He just went through a particularly challenging spell, which is his story to tell. So, you know, there's certain things. I think sometimes people look at us who write books and talk about things and they're like, why don't you share more of this stuff? Well, it's not always the timing or ours to share, but I do allude to it in Raising Amazing. And actually my son mentions it as well. But I remember reaching out to a group of friends and I was like, I don't even know, could this affect the book? Like, should I not be writing this book when my son's going through this? And every one of them was like, I have never been happier to hear you share something, because you are now officially human and your son is officially human and now I relate to you better. And by the way, somebody close to me has been through something very similar, and it just was like this beautiful moment of like, oh, yes, that's, I had to do that. And it was so, just such an important moment for me as a writer and in my friendships.
It's so important. And we could talk about this all day. I mean, I'm an English major, right? And what you're looking for in every story, movie, anything, is someone who has flaws and yet overcomes them, right?
Yes.
That is the human story we crave. Mm-hmm. When you see somebody who apparently doesn't have flaws, that looks like a villain in disguise, because you're like, wait, something's wrong. Like,
exactly.
Something's
wrong. Suspicious.
And when we try to act like that to each other, people are like, something's wrong, I don't know, it's uncomfortable. But when we act and say like, I struggle. Mm. You know, my wife was just talking about this because we're about to do a podcast together. And she's like, I don't even feel qualified because like, we're so messy in our house with all this stuff. And I'm like, I could not agree more. And by the way, that's exactly what people want to hear about.
Yep.
How it's hard for us.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh yeah, right. And you know, and the only way you make the story about Jesus and not about you is sharing about your flaws.
Yes.
That he helped you overcome.
Yes.
So do that.
Because, yeah, I mean, Paul writes, right, that we should boast more in our weaknesses. And I think that's exactly, he's the only perfect one. None of us will ever be there. So, wow.
So yeah. Good. So friendship has to start there. That's it.
It does. And it takes that one brave step, and I think we can all do that. Again, like you said, we could talk about this. There's so many things in the book that are so good. Can you just touch on conflict and friendship? Because especially for us females listening, conflict is hard. And I think men are a little bit better about just being really straightforward with one another. You can kind of put each other down. Yeah. I think we women, we just want to find the common ground. We want to build bridges. We want to agree on things. So conflict is really hard.
That's good. And I do think that that's true. I think if men struggle a bit with the front end vulnerability, I do think it can be more typical for women to struggle with the let's be honest and forgive, not let this ice over. you know, we go back to the idea that the two ingredients of friendship are centers and sinners, right? So mm-hmm. should expect to be hurt by mm-hmm. our friends, mm-hmm. unfortunately. mm-hmm. But that's actually not necessarily bad, because I think what can happen is that we live in a world where friendships are more like disposable cups. You know, as soon as it's not working for you, throw it out, yeah. find a new one.
Cancel culture. That means,
yeah, you know, we see every conflict as a barrier to future mm-hmm. relationship, but the lens of grace should really flip that for us. Mm-hmm. And if you start to realize that, look, when you push through a conflict and you realize, okay, my friends are definitely going to hurt me, the question is what happens next? And wait, oh, the model of grace in my life of salvation is that Jesus forgives us mm-hmm. and gives us a future. He forgives the past and creates a future. That is where friendships, I think, move from acquaintances or people we like to what I like to call covenant friendships, where yeah. you are really working in the past and the future to say, let's make this last. And you can't mm-hmm. do that without forgiveness.
Yeah.
So I think it comes from the practice and the bravery to be honest mm-hmm. and apologize. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to move from text chains to in person to do this. You know, mm-hmm. I've seen in the past couple years where our friendships have started to move towards text chains, which is great for ongoing updates, right? Mm-hmm. Really bad for misunderstandings.
Yes.
And even with guys, you know, I've felt like sarcasm and frustrations, and we've really had to practice saying, hey, can we talk? Because like the things are getting heated here.
Yeah. And I love, you have an emoji for that, right? In your group text.
We do. We have we have a campfire emoji. And it just means it's a GIF or whatever. It's just this idea of like, we need to talk in person. We need to meet over the back of our fire, which is often the mode of our gathering. But it's this idea that we need to be face to face to say, mm-hmm. what did you mean? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. You didn't. All right. I'm sorry. Or, you know, ask somebody to apologize. And I just, writing the forgiveness chapter ended up being one of the most meaningful chapters in the mm-hmm. book, because mm-hmm. when we do that, we're acting like Christ. And that's mm-hmm. where we really start to move out of relationships or connections and into real friendships.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's beautiful. And I think just as I've been talking to my youngest son about friendships, I think we all have a tendency to want the perfect friend, to want someone who has all of our shared interests, personality just like ours, agrees with us on everything. And I think that that can even be an obstacle as an adult to beginning a covenant friendship, because mm-hmm. we're like, oh, but I don't really love everything about her or him. Right. Can you speak to that? Because I think that we do need a variety of people. We don't want everyone, and there isn't going to be anyone just like us. But talk to us a little more about that, and then also, if you don't mind, touch on how you establish a covenant friendship, and then I promise I'll let you go.
No, we could do it all day. The reason I like the term covenant friendship is just because the word friendship has been so abused in the past decades or century. You know, mm-hmm. it's become a verb. You know, something mm-hmm. that you can do on Facebook with a click. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to offer covenant friendship as a way to recapture this deep spirituality mm-hmm. of this relationship, which sustains us. Mm-hmm. And part of that is realizing that a covenant friendship will forgive the past, as we just talked about, mm-hmm. but also look to the future. Mm-hmm. And so it's not marriage. It's not a covenant like marriage. it's not supposed to be. So I'm going to distinguish that there. Yeah. But we should move a little closer towards, mm-hmm. you know, promising with friends and being more intentional with friends. And you're right. When we do that, when we start to say, hey, do you want to really dive into this friendship, or say something awkward like we did by the lockers, we're going to be best friends.
I love it.
Or, you know, and I'd suggest this, you know, people starting to say, hey, do you want to work on covenant friendship together? Like, yeah, mm-hmm. that's a little awkward for two dudes. You'll be better fathers, better men, better husbands for it.
Wow.
Of course, you're going to be a little afraid of like, well, did I pick the right person? Just like you're afraid of this when you date and get married, right?
Yes.
But then you realize that, you know, marriage is not meant to make you happy. It's meant to make you holy. And those differences are what help, right?
Yeah.
So the great thing about friendship is you can have a lot of them. You're not unhealthy because you move in and out of them. I mean, it's natural to, you know, move in and out of friendships over time. So again, not the covenant of marriage, but when we move more towards the future, I realize, like for me, just for example, I have covenant friends here in Richmond who are, you know, white collar professionals like me, stay at home dads, you know, blue collar, you know, workers, people who voted for the same presidential candidate I did, people who vehemently disagree with that, mm-hmm. people who are on this side of the theological spectrum, that side of the theological spectrum. Mm-hmm. And I am so grateful for that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be surrounded by people like me. You know, they push me to think differently. And like, they don't care that I am talking on a podcast. They care whether I'm showing up to the next fire and engaging.
So true.
Them, you know?
So
and,
true.
And that is what I love about Covenant Friends. They're real people with all their flaws, and I'm one of them with all my flaws, and we're rooted here in geographical relationships in a particular place, and that sanctifies me.
So
that makes me more like Jesus. And if I were just to be chatting in online, you know, tweets or Facebook groups with people who think exactly like me, it's not necessarily bad. But if that was the mm-hmm. you know, the medium of most of my relationships, I would not be becoming more like Christ. Mm. I'd be becoming more like myself, which is very dangerous.
Yes, right.
Very dangerous.
So good. Oh, well, there's a whole lot more that I could talk about, but I'm just going to encourage everyone to go read this book, Made for People, Why We Drift into Loneliness and How to Fight for a Life of Friendship. I think women need it. I think our men need it. Get it for your guys, sons, husbands. It's so good. So thank you. And can I ask you my fun little end of our conversation question before I let you off the hook?
Okay, I'm ready for it.
All right.
Actually,
so we
know what it was now. So this is going to be awesome.
There we go. So amazing, as defined in my book, Raising Amazing, is something that is a pleasant surprise or causes wonder. And we're talking summertime here. You've got four boys. What in your life currently or recently would you call amazing?
Oh, that's good. The James River is amazing. I live here in Richmond and I love it. And I'm going to tie it into our theme here because the James River is a place where not only I just walk my boys to all the time, it's about five minutes away from our house. And it's beautiful, and it causes wonder because you see something that the Lord like just made, and it's just beautiful ecosystem. Mm-hmm. And also, this has been a feature of many friendships. So we go to the river, or we sit on rocks of the river and talk, and it's been one of those amazing places where you grasp wonder together. So I have a lot of memories with friends there, and hopefully my boys will too. So the James River is amazing.
So good. I love that. Yeah, God's creation is amazing and a great place to go to just be reminded of his awesomeness. Well, this interview is coming out like I think the day after your book release. So I just want to officially be one of the first to say congratulations. Yay, book launch.
So really exciting. I really appreciate the great questions here. And I'm so glad you enjoyed the book.
Oh my goodness. Yes. So for those who now are on the edge of their seat, where can they find it? Where can they follow you?
You know, you can Google Made for People and you'll find it on all the retailers. My website is justinwhitmoreearley.com and we put that in the show notes for spelling. But if you Google Justin Lawyer Author, you know, you'll find all the stuff. I am more active on Instagram than anything else. So if people message me there and follow me at Justin Whitmore Early. You can see all kinds of stuff I post about the boys and parenting habits and friendship and all the above.
Yeah, I love your reels. You do some good just snippets that are really encouraging and helpful. So I'll be linking to that as well.
Well, good. Thanks. Social media can be redeemed.
It can. And I wanted to talk about social media today, but people can read about it in the book because I think you have some great perspective on that for all of us. So
yeah, they can just, yeah. Social media is a snack. Friendships are meals. Just stay healthy. That's my point in a nutshell.
Oh, so good. So good. There we go. You just tackled it. All right, Justin, thank you so much. Can't wait to one day get our families together, but just appreciate your time here on the podcast. Okay, guys, I hope you enjoyed that conversation nearly as much as I did. Of course, you can find show notes, links to the book, and all the things we talked about on my website. And today, you can find that at monicaswanson.com/made-for-people.
just decided that was easier this time. Justin's been on before, and I think he'll be on again. So monicaswanson.com/madeforpeople. And while you're over there, you can always leave a comment. You can click around, find some of my old articles, find a recipe. You know, my website's got a whole lot of years of really good stuff that I've put so much into. So don't be a stranger. Make yourself at home over there. Dip your toes in the virtual sand and hang out a little bit, okay? So thank you for being here. God bless you guys. Hope you have a wonderful rest of your week. And until next time, aloha.
Grand Canyon University makes earning your degree possible with over 130 academic programs for traditional campus students, with more than 80 bachelor's programs offered online. GCU provides you with the personal support you need, from complimentary unofficial transcript evaluations within 24 business hours to scholarships, academic support, and your GCU graduation team, led by your own university counselor. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.